Chapter 1. The Fugitives. A low hut, built of turf roughly thatched with rushes, and standing on the highest spot of some slightly raised ground. It was surrounded by a tangled growth of bushes and low trees, through which a narrow and winding path gave admission to the narrow space on which the hut stood. The ground sloped rapidly. 20 yards from the house, the trees ceased, and a rank vegetation of reeds and rushes took the place of the bushes, and the ground became soft and swampy. A little further, pools of stagnant water appeared among the rushes, and the path abruptly stopped at the edge of a stagnant swamp, though the passage could be followed by the eye for some distance among the tall rushes. The hut, in fact, stood on a hummock in the midst of a wide swamp, where the water sometimes deepened into lakes connected by sluggish streams. On the open spaces of water, herons stalked near the margin, and great flocks of wildfowl dotted the surface. Other signs of life there were none, although a sharp eye might have detected light threads of smoke curling up here and there from spots where the ground rose somewhat above the general level. These slight elevations, however, were not visible to the eye, for the herbage here grew shorter than on the lower and wetter ground, and the land apparently stretched away for a vast distance in a dead flat, a rush-covered swamp, broken only here and there by patches of bushes and low trees. The little hut was situated in the very heart of the fen country, now drained and cultivated, but in the year 870, untouched by the hand of man, the haunt of wildfowl and human fugitives. At the door of the hut stood a lad some 14 years old. His only garment was a short sleeveless tunic girded in at the waist. His arms and legs were bare. His head was uncovered, and his hair fell in masses on his shoulders. In his hand he held a short spear, and leaning against the wall of the hut close at hand was a bow and quiver of arrows. The lad looked at the sun, which was sinking towards the horizon. "Father is late," he said. "I trust that no harm has come to him and Egbert. He said he would return today without fail. He said 3 or 4 days, and this is the fourth. It is dull work here alone. You think so, Wolf, don't you, old fellow? And it is worse for you than it is for me, pent up on this hummock of ground with scarce room to stretch your limbs." A great wolfhound, who was lying with his head between his paws by the embers of a fire in the centre of the hut, raised his head on being addressed, and uttered a low howl, indicative of his agreement with his master's opinion, and his disgust at his present place of abode. "Never mind, old fellow,"